But let's face it, folks. The gospel we just heard the deacon proclaim, there are more comforting gospel readings, right? In fact, this one can be downright scary. I told you at the beginning, we're in that period where we're hearing about the end times in Jesus' second coming. And he says there will be trials and tribulations. Now, I remember a couple years ago when I was coming out of St. Vincent Hospital after visiting somebody. And the woman who was the attendant taking my ticket and my payment, she saw my collar. And she said, "Father, can I ask you a question?" I said, "Sure, you may ask." She said, "With all the craziness in the world, do you think the world's coming to an end soon?" And the first thing I thought of and the first thing I said, I said, "You know, I don't think we're that lucky." And I know that sounds ironic, but consider this. If we as Christians really want full union with Jesus, and if he is going to come again to gather those who belong to him to himself, then why should we be afraid? Especially of the second coming. I mean, we don't know when that's going to happen. I know in the gospel reading, as in much of the New Testament, we have the signs that will accompany the end times. There will be wars and insurrections and earthquakes and famines and storms and all of these things. And we look around and we say, "My goodness, like the woman at St. Vincent, we must be in the end times. All these things are happening." But the thing is, all the time, all these things are happening. And that's the point. Ultimately, the point is that since we don't know when Jesus is going to come, we have to be ready constantly to greet him with joyful hope and expectation when he does come. It could be tonight, could be this afternoon, tomorrow or next week, next month or next year. 10 years from now, 100, 1,000, 10,000 years from now, we just don't know. So like the Boy Scouts say, be prepared. Or like I've seen on T-shirts and bumper stickers, Jesus is coming. Look busy. Well, better than looking busy, how about we make sure that we are busy about the Lord's will and his work? You know, people get so afraid of the second coming and the tribulations, but let's face it, folks. Let's think about it. Unless you're extremely young and haven't lived a lot of life yet, if you've lived any life at all, you've been through scary trials and tribulations and crises and times in our lives when we said, "I don't know if I can make it." And we've turned to the Lord and said, "Lord, where are you when I need you? You don't seem close. You seem far away." And that's where we can fall back on the footprints of the sand story. It seems like he's not there, but he's picking us up and carrying us. And when we look back, we say, "Yeah, he was there all the time. He came to my rescue." And certainly, before, in all likelihood, the second coming is happening, everybody in this church will meet his or her own demise and our own personal being called home. And we never really know when that's coming. But if Jesus is wanting full union with us and we want it with him, then there's nothing to fear. You know, we all want to go to heaven, but as the saying goes, we don't want to necessarily do what it takes to get there. You know, that crossing the threshold. Or as Woody Allen said, "You know, I'm not afraid of dying, I just don't want to be there when it happens. But all of these trials, all of these tribulations, even if we've had, as a lot of people do, close brushes with our own mortality, hasn't Jesus really come and delivered us? Now we get to the show and tell. Oh, I know there's War and Peace, there's Moby Dick, there's Gone with the Wind, but there ain't no classic like this classic. It was written by yours truly. Pope John the 23rd National Seminary Self-Study Report. I'm surprised that I can pick this up without getting post-traumatic stress disorder. As most of you know, I used to be a professional writer and editor before I finally figured out that God was calling me to the priesthood in my late 20s. And when I was in the seminary, I had the good/bad fortune in my last semester to be tapped to be a contributing writer to and editor-in-chief of this little gem. If you're in academia at all, you know that periodically independent group comes and they study you to reaccredit you. And so this was happening, and I had the good fortune, bad fortune, of being there when the 10-year cycle was coming to completion, and they had to do it all over again. This thing was almost the death of me. Now, this isn't the worst thing that's ever happened to me, but I share the story about Jesus coming to my personal rescue. Because my last semester, when I was supposed to be really spiritually preparing to be ordained, I actually spent vacations stuck in the seminary. Spring break, I wouldn't have seen my parents except for they lived a half an hour away. And I would go home at night on my vacation, get up, drive into the seminary, and work on this most of the day. And I was stuck in the seminary for 2 whole weeks after everybody had gone home, or almost everybody. The place was like a ghost town. Some of the faculty were there, a couple of the students in different circumstances were there. And I was up till all hours of the morning for 2 weeks trying to get this dang thing done. And it was wearing my nerves to a thin thread. Now, at the same time, as this thing was driving me crazy, and I was worried about whether or not I was going to get ordained, because I had to finish it first, Jesus put this book in my hands. Well, as it always is, this is the Liturgy of the Hours, or the Divine Office, or the Breviary, or whatever you want to call it. This is the prayer book that priests and religious and now even a lot of lay people read every day and pray every day. And part of this is a scripture reading every day is put in front of you. And at that time, at the end of May in 1998, when I was fit to be tied at the end of my rope, and this thing was killing me softly, I came across a reading from the book of Revelation, which is the scariest book in the Bible because it's got most of this kind of talk in it about the end times. But just when I needed it, Jesus reminded me that he was coming to my rescue. Because there's an image of Jesus in here when he's coming. I mean, this is like Matt Dillon riding in on Gunsmoke on his right in his steed. Jesus is pictured on a white horse, galloping to our rescue, and there's a sash that he's wearing draped across his thigh that says, "The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords." And that day, when I read that, my eyes filled up with tears. Because Jesus was telling me, I'm coming for you, Ken. I'm going to rescue you and take you out of that seminary and ordain you as one of my priests. And by God, he did. And that's what he does. That's who he is. He is our Savior. And if we're striving for virtue, if we're celebrating the sacraments, if we're confessing our sins, if we really, really, as Shakespeare said, view our own personal deaths and his second coming as a consummation devoutly to be wished, then we have nothing to fear. We wait in joyful hope for the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And he will take us to himself, where we'll be gathered together with him in a place that has no fear, nothing bad, nothing negative, nothing sinful. And you know that place is called heaven.